Okay. All right, so there are significant places here. First of all, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 is where we're going to begin. We actually are kind of picking up from where we left off before, because before we followed Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees over into Canaan land, and he's at Shechem now. And here in chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 is where we're going to begin. Chapter 12, Genesis 6 and 7. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, or Shechem, but the same as Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. All right, so we find him first of all here. He had been up in the north. He's come down now. He's in Shechem. And it was there that the Lord, he first builds this altar to the Lord. So picture in your mind this area here so I'm not confusing anybody. Of course, you got the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, and the Mediterranean over there, and all of Israel here. And he had been way up here in the north. Okay, so he's come down. Okay. And then he moves down to Bethel, chapter 12 and verse number 8. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So he built another altar in Bethel. So he had been in Shechem, now he's come down to Bethel. So he's moving south. You can see the mountain range that comes down through the middle of the nation there. Okay? If you have any questions as we work our way along, feel free to ask. Okay? And then from there, he moves all the way down to Egypt in chapter 12, verse 9. And Abram journeyed on still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt and sojourned there. For the famine was grievous in the land. And that trip down to Egypt got him into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Because it's there where he probably found Hagar, his Egyptian maid. The Bible doesn't tell us for sure, but very likely it was there. I'm not going to read all the verses down through verse number 20 there, but it was during this time he got himself into trouble. He lied about his wife. Verse 13, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. All right, so he's not thinking of his dear wife, he's thinking of himself. And he's afraid that somebody's going to kill him in order to get her. And so it really does amaze me, because she must have been an extremely beautiful woman for an old woman as she was, that she was well into her 70s at this point. And yet she's so beautiful that everybody wants her. So that seems bizarre, but she was obviously a very beautiful woman. Okay, then we move back up to Bethel again from there. So he travels back up to Bethel in chapter 13 and verses 1 to 9. Chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. All right, so here's, again, he calls on the name of the Lord there, verse number 4. So he's back up to Bethel again. So he's started up there, Shechem, down to Bethel, and then wandered down into Egypt, got himself in trouble, come back to Bethel. It's a good thing to do. You know, you think about that. He's going back to where he had spent time, quality time with God. And going back to meet with the Lord and spend time with Him. Now, God can meet with us anywhere, but sometimes we just need to go back to where we left off. If we've gotten away from the Lord, we need to think about, you know, what has happened, why, what do I need to do to go back to the Lord and get back to where I was before. From there, we find that there's problems down in Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. All right, now, remember, they're up here in Bethel. They journeyed east, and so they may have just crossed over up here and then ventured, he may have ventured down this side and said, oh, it's, you know, so lush down, all this is lush over there, and that's what I want. He was after the prime land for his flocks. And he wasn't thinking about his family. He wasn't thinking about anything that was fruitful. You know, so many times, you know, we can get careless and make decisions based on finances or based on materialism rather than thinking logically and thinking, all right, if Lot would have thought through, if he would, I mean, the scriptures tell us he was a righteous man. I mean, good thing God tells us that, because there's nothing you see in his life that indicates that he was. But God knew that he was. And so here's a man who knew God, but yet he chose to walk away from God and get himself into all kinds of trouble. He ventures down, headed towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And even then, it was not a good place. Down in verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, obviously, Lot could observe that. He knew that it was not a wholesome place for his family, and yet he chose to go there anyway. And it caused a lot of grief and a lot of problems in the years and months ahead. And then next we meet Abram up in Hebron. And Hebron was a key place because that's where that was kind of a family base for years to come. Chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. So you stop and think about that. Wherever he was at that time, he was probably still up at Bethel at that point, because they had separated while he's up at Bethel. But God says, you look any direction you want. As far as you can see, east, west, north, and south, it's all going to be yours one day, or your descendants. So it was a great promise that God gave him. And for all the land, verse 15, which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Rise and walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So Mamre was just outside of Hebron. It's a significant place because Hebron is the area, or just outside of Hebron is where the cave of Machpelah was. And we're going to find out later that that's where he buried Sarah. That's where Abram was buried. That's where Isaac was buried. You know, that was their family graveyard. All right, so Hebron, keep that in mind. So it's south of Jerusalem. You know, what about, you know, on the scale there, probably 30 kilometers south of Jerusalem. All right, they're in Hebron. All right. Then from there, we find the problems come up. Chapter 14 and verse number 1. And it came to pass in the days of all these big guys with great big huge names. Amraphel, the king of Shinar, and Arioch, the king of Elzar, and Elam, and Tidal, the king of nations. So all these kings, they gang up on Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, so these kings are out there, and they're fighting with Sodom and Gomorrah, and they capture Sodom and Gomorrah, and as a result, they've also captured Lot. And then Abram goes to rescue Lot. And so there's all these problems. The description of all the people and the places are down there in the first 9 verses. And there were slime pits, verse 10, in Sodom and Gomorrah. And they fled, and they that remained fled into the mountains. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 11, and all their victuals, and went their way. All right, so they took all their property from them, anything that was of any value. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, and who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew that dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Anar, and these were confederate with Abraham, or Abram. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. All right? So they're down here in Hebron. He armed his servants, and they pursued them all the way to Dan. All right, so they're obviously headed way to the north. Now you look at the distance there. You can see on the scale we have down here, you're looking at probably close to 150 kilometers. So it's a long way to go. He's followed them with his trained servants. I got my stick, and I keep forgetting it's here. All right, so he's following them with his trained servants. And they've gone all the way from Hebron, probably following the trail of these guys. After they've done that, maybe they crossed over the Jordan and went up the side. Who knows? But they followed them up all their way up there, and they get up and they meet up with them in Dan. And so,
brother, is that referring to Lot? What was his name?
It is his nephew.
Is that but the generic
name? Yes. All right. So it's Well, in verse 12, it's Abram's brother's son. So, but they use the term as a family term. All right, so he heard that his brother was taken captive. Yes, so 12 calls him his brother, and 14 calls him his brother, and 12 calls him his brother's son, which is the actual fact. So it's just a near kin. Okay, so he follows them all the way up there to that in pursuit of them. And then he follows them further all the way up to Damascus. Okay, so from Dan, they fled yet still, and he followed them up to Damascus. And we see there in verses 15 and 16, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all of the goods, also brought back again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. All right, so just on the west side of Damascus here was this place called Hobah. And they followed him all the way up here, defeated the enemies, conquered them, and got back all of the goods. So this is a very time-consuming, no doubt expensive, endeavor that Abram does to rescue all this stuff. So it was no small matter of what was taking place here. And then we find ourselves back down in the area of Jerusalem, and verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after he went from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, the kings and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Seva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. Now, this is one of those bizarre verses that nobody really understands. All right? Salem was Jerusalem. So it was right in this area, whether it was the exact spot or not, it was in that area, Jerusalem. So Salem, he was the king of, Melchizedek was. And Melchizedek brought out gifts to Abraham, and he blessed Abraham. And then Abraham, we see, as you look further down in verse 20, he gave him tithes of all that he had rescued. Gave tithes to him, 10%. To Melchizedek. And then in the New Testament we find that Jesus Christ is the
the order of?
Order of Melchizedek.
Is this the only time in Melchizedek's mentioned apart from that? In Genesis, the only time that Melchizedek is mentioned apart from New Testament. Because so little is known about Melchizedek, it's sort of a bit of a mystery God.
I would have to search that. I know there's a lot about it in Hebrews. Psalm 110 mentions it. Thank you. Our concordance is working. So that's probably one of the psalms that are just kind of reiterating things. But yes, Melchizedek is mentioned here, and it's really hard to comprehend exactly who was this Melchizedek. Was he a pre-incarnate Christ? You know, like an angelic form of Christ, or was it? I don't know, because it says in Hebrews it talks about the Melchizedek being not having father and mother and origin and all this, and it sure sounds like an eternal being, not just a human. And why all of a sudden does Abraham meet up with him? Why does he come to meet Abraham? Why does he bless Abraham? Abraham had gone out of his way to help these pagans. What's that got to do with Melchizedek? And why would he do that? Other than just to show Abraham that he did the right thing. Any thoughts or ideas on that?
Just that Melchizedek was both a king and a priest. Mm. Lends itself to Christ being a...
Yeah. It really does. I mean, I suspect, but it's only suspicions because God doesn't tell us. I suspect that this Melchizedek in the Old Testament might have been a pre-incarnate, image of Christ. Why else would Christ become like Melchizedek?
A bit unusual.
But Christ was considered a prophet, priest, and king as well. So,
yes. So it's unusual for a king to be a priest
yes,
as well.
Exactly. So there's a lot of things about that are hard to comprehend, and we don't really fully understand. Okay. And then from there we find him next down in Hebron again in chapter 15 and verse 1 all the way through chapter 19. So obviously quite a few chapters here. We're not going to look at all of that. But he's moved back down there, and now he's settling in, and God's blessing him there. And this the whole saga about Sarah wanting a son, and he marries Hagar, and then that gets him into trouble, and finally God says, I'm going to give you your own son. And so all these chapters, all the way up through chapter 19, and the end of chapter 19, is all of this life of Abraham and the things that took place in Abram's life. And so this is all in Hebron. So Hebron is the area where Abram spends most of his life in Israel. That was his home base, really. And we see that later on in Isaac and Jacob's lives as well, as that Hebron played a major part there. Okay.
Wasn't Hebron a city of David later on?
Yes.
One of the cities.
It was the city where David reigned as king for 13 years before he moved to... during the time when there were still some battles going on between Saul's sons and David.
I think it was a city of refuge.
Yes, it was a city of refuge as well. Very good.
So Abraham's referred to as a Hebrew. Is that from Hebron? The word Hebrew?
I would guess no, but I don't know.
I just wondered why he's called a Hebrew. I mean, it's...
Yeah, that is a good question. I've never thought about it.
Where's the word Hebrew come from?
Yeah, but since he was a Hebrew, what does that mean?
I don't know. Sasha, you got any genius thoughts on that? I've never thought about the origin of the Hebrews. Yeah.
Just because they make coffee.
Yes. And I mean, there's the Hebrew language, but anyway. All right, so he's down in Hebron, and then next he moves over to Gerar and gets himself into trouble again. We can learn from his mistakes. And so often we're like him and repeat our mistakes. And so in chapter 20, verse 1, and Abram journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. All right, so he sojourned in Gerar, and not a good thing. For Abraham said to Sarah's wife, "She is my sister," and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So this time Sarah's actually gone to the king's house. He's making preparations to marry Sarah, and then he finds out that they're married. And just a bad testimony for Abraham. He gets himself into a lot of embarrassing shame here. And Abraham ends up praying for Abimelech in verse 17, and God heals Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants so that they can have children again, because God closed up all their wombs because of this problem between Abimelech and Sarah and Abraham. So
which makes me wonder what Sarah's pride was in this. I mean, the king's men turn up and say, "Oh, Sarah, you're pretty good looking. Come up to the king's place." She says, "Oh, okay." Like, really?
Yeah,
she
was loyal to Abraham. Abraham said, "Tell him you're my sister."
And she was his sister.
And she was.
But she still could have said no.
I know.
Well, maybe she couldn't in terms of that.
I mean, in their culture, who knows, maybe. You read over there in 1 Peter chapter 3, and it says that Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And, you know, that's an interesting passage where Peter uses that to help women see the importance of following the leadership of their husband. And in that context, he was leading her way wrong, and yet she obeyed him, and God never scolded her for it, but God got after Abraham for it. Very unusual, interesting, sad situations. But, you know, that's another thing about the Bible. The Bible is unique because God doesn't hide all the bad things that people have done. You know, if you or I were writing a novel or even writing a biography or an autobiography, we'd have a great tendency to say, "I'm not going to talk about that episode there. We're going to skip that and pretend it didn't happen."
Yeah, Book of Heroes, wouldn't it?
So God reveals all these things, even though they weren't very good a lot of times. So that's a help to us to see that. Then we find him down in Beersheba in chapter 21 and verse number 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he said, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken. And Abraham called his name of his son was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac on the eighth day, and God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son was born unto him. Right, so here at this time he's down there in Hebron, and I'm trying to see the verse that actually says that, but it's somewhere in this whole context. I should have highlighted the verse that identifies the location there. But he's down at Hebron at this point in his life. Beersheba. He left Hebron. Here it is, verse 33. And Abram planted a grove in Beersheba and called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abram sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. All right, so this is the southern territory, Beersheba, and that was actually controlled by the Philistines at this time, so he sojourned there. So what's it mean to sojourn?
12.
What's that?
12 for a while.
Yeah, camp out, like, you know, to stay there for a bit, but not make it a permanent place. It's a temporary
holiday.
What's that?
Holiday.
Well, probably a little bit more than that, but it was a temporary abode. An abiding place, but it wasn't intended to be a permanent place. All right, then he goes up to Mount Moriah. This is a challenging chapter here in chapter 22, when God speaks to Abraham, and It says there in verse number 1, and the Lord, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, I am here am I. Now, one of the things that's important for us to remember, we see this pretty clearly over in the book of James chapter 1, that tempt and try are used interchangeably. And apparently in 1611, when they first translated the King James, they didn't make a great distinction between that, because here we would not look at this passage and say God tempted Abraham to sin. No, it wasn't a temptation to sin. It was a trial to see how he would respond. God was testing his character, but God was not tempting him to sin. God never tempts someone to sin. James chapter 1 verses 13 to 15 tell us there that we're tempted of our own flesh, but God never tempts anybody to sin. So we know he wasn't tempting Abraham to sin, but he does say, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice him. And I've often wondered, before I get ahead of myself here, so he's been down here. Well, he's been down here. It was just in Beersheba. And then God said, I want you to go to Mount Moriah. Now, Mount Moriah is in Jerusalem. Okay? All right, so is Mount Moriah the actual where the temple used to sit?
They believe that is somewhere under the Dome of Rock.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, so he went up there to what is now Jerusalem, and God told him to sacrifice his son. And so they head up there, and they get close by, and Abraham leaves his servants behind and takes his son with him in the wood and the fire, but he doesn't take any lamb, and Isaac doesn't know why there's no lamb, and God will provide. And then he wraps and ties him all up and lays him on the altar. I mean, can you imagine what's going through his mind? And another thought that crosses my mind is, I wonder how he got out of the house without telling Sarah all this. I mean, Sarah would have had a fit if her son was going to be sacrificed like that, you would think. But Abraham obeyed God. He did what God told him to do. Tied him up, put him on the altar, got his knife out, ready to plunge it into his son's heart. And Hebrews tells us, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that Abraham believed that God was able to even raise him up from the dead if he would kill him. And so there he was. He's about ready to take his son's life, and God stops him and says, no, I believe you now. I know your character. I know you're doing what you should be doing. You know, as I think about that, it just makes you wonder, you know, when God looks at our lives, and God maybe puts us through some trying times to check us out and see how we're going to respond. Do we respond in a way that so honors God that God's able to look down on us and say, they passed the test. I know they're doing right. I know that they are faithful and loyal to me. You know, it often makes me wonder, you know, and I look at my own life and I think, you know, I wonder how many times I've failed the test. But God wants us to be faithful as Abram was faithful. All right. Now, I've got only two slides left, so I guess we'll finish it up here. The next one's down in Beersheba. And chapter 22, verse 19. So Abram returned unto his son, unto his young men, and they arose, and they went together into Beersheba, and Abram dwelt in Beersheba. All right, so he's gone down to Beersheba, and that's where he's next there. And chapter 24 is all about Abraham finding a son, a wife for his son. And so that's all based from Beersheba. So later on, when Jacob, the servant leaves here to find a wife for Isaac, he travels from Beersheba all the way up there to Haran to find that son for a wife for Abraham's son. Okay, so that's all in chapter 24. And then we end up in chapter 23, verses 1 to 20 is the death of Sarah. And it's there that he, verse number 3, and Abram stood before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abram, saying unto him, Hear us, my Lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abram stood up and bowed himself unto the people of the land, even the children of Heth, and he communed with them, saying, If be in your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. Now, I don't know how much work it would have taken in those days to carve a burial tomb out of the rock, but it certainly wouldn't be easy. It would have taken a lot of work, and yet all these guys, they had their own tombs, and he says, you can take your pick, whatever you want. And he chose this one in Machpelah, and he says, that's the one I want. And so this is where Abraham buried Sarah, and then later in chapter 25, we find that Abraham dies, and he also is buried there in Machpelah as well. And so down in the verse number 9, and the sons of and his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre, and the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abram buried and Sarah his wife. Okay, so the two of them are buried there in Hebron.
So they were together for about 100 years, which is really amazing, isn't it? Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah.
She was 127 when she died, so it's probably roughly 100 years.
Yeah, a long time. So, all right. So that kind of gives you an idea of the area that he spent most of his time around in the Hebron area, sometime in the Beersheba. So all this area right down in here was where he spent a vast majority of his life in Canaan during that time.